Many years ago, I had an experience while walking on the beach which illustrates the message in this popular poem. A woman approached me who was moving to Florida from Chicago. She recognized me from a television appearance the night before. She said, "Do you live here in South Florida?" And I responded that I did and was taking a beach walk after returning from an all-night flight. Then she asked me a commonly heard question, "What are the people like here?" I responded with a question of my own, "What are the people like in Chicago?" She smiled broadly and told me how warm and friendly people were in the Midwest, and I told her immediately, "That's pretty much what you're going to find here." On my return walk along the same beach, a woman whose husband was being transferred to Miami from New York stopped me to say that she had seen me on television the night before and how much she enjoyed the show. We struck up a conversation, and then she asked me the same question I had heard only an hour before on the very same beach. Naturally, I asked her the same question in return. "What are the people like in New York?" She launched into a tirade on how insensitive, cliquey, and unfriendly it was in the big city, and I responded, "That's pretty much what you're going to find here." We attract into our lives pretty much what we ourselves project with our own attitude. In general, those who feel that the world is a cesspool notice the vermin, while those who believe in the goodness of humanity see others of like mind. Many people lament the poor quality of service in contemporary America. "You just can't get good service," is a gripe you hear daily. In fact, Time magazine did a cover story on the decline of service in every field, from retail stores and restaurants to getting your watch repaired. Recently, on a television show where everyone on the panel unanimously agreed on the poor quality of service, I disagreed. I explained that I felt expectation attracted what it expected. When I enter any retail store or restaurant, I expect to be treated cheerfully and politely, and that's pretty much what I get. If I can't find a salesperson to wait on me, I refuse to contaminate my energy field with thoughts of displeasure and disgust. Instead, I begin sending out the energy that I want to find. If I encounter a surly waiter, I immediately bring him into my field of energy with, "Looks like it's been a tough day, I understand, and you've just been rewarded with a customer who appreciates you and how tough your job is. Take your time." Lo and behold, the poet is right. Be glad and your friends are many. Be sad and you'll lose them all. Your field of energy radiates at whatever vibratory frequency you generate. You are impacting and being impacted by the energy fields of many people each and every day. Refuse to give energy to things you don't want or don't believe in is a very powerful piece of advice. Anytime you opt for weeping rather than laughing, sighing rather than singing, grieving instead of rejoicing, sadness over gladness, fasting in favor of feasting, or pain in favor of pleasure, you are making a choice to slow down your vibrations and to pollute your immediate mental energy field. Every morning, as you take in your first view of day, you have the choice to say, "Good morning, God," or "Good God, morning." Whichever you choose is precisely the energy that you will invite into your life. Indeed, there is room in the halls of pleasure for a long and lordly train. Remember Ella Wheeler Wilcox's poem, while you increase the vibration of your energy field with these adjustments to your attitude.